and John, they reach out their hand and they say, "What I do have, I give to you." And this morning I had a good anecdote in that scripture. And of course, we're only two or three verses into it. We've already done one on the power and presence of God and how the power and presence of God inside of you is so important. And this morning I had planned to talk about your willingness in it. And I'll just give you the headline and I'll probably preach on it again later. So you hopefully you'll remember it then, maybe not, and that's okay, because we're going to go a different direction today. But the question that I wanted to ask you this morning, and I'm asking it because I think it's an important question still, and it will tie in with what I'm preaching on today, which the Holy Spirit gave me at about 9:25. So what it was is, am I willing? The question that you have to ask yourself is, am I willing? Because if you can't answer that question, the question of am I willing, then it doesn't matter what you do have. If you can't answer that fundamental question of willingness, then whatever you do have is irrelevant. Does that make sense? So I want you to just log that in your mind. We're going to come back to that at a later time when I continue on in that series. This morning, I was feeling completely overwhelmed by, as I was explaining to you, little sleep. I was emceeing the wedding as well, so I had a lot of work to do at the wedding as my sister-in-law, who got married in Port Alberni, which is very exciting, and about time. And so I had all this stuff to do. I just had thing after thing after thing after thing. And this morning, I sat down and I went, God, like, I'm... this sermon, there's something missing. I said, what is that? All my planning and preparation that I put into it, I said, God, what am I missing? And he says, well, that's not really what I want you to talk on. And I'm like, but what do you mean? I have it done already. I finished it on Wednesday. And he says, yeah, that's true. That's true. But he had given me something while I was planning it, and it stuck out like a sore thumb. So we're going to talk about that today. And I'm going to be jumping around from a few different verses this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to jump to Romans 8. We're going to start in Romans 8, and we're going to go from there. The message that I'm going to entitle this morning is dream. What does it mean to dream? So I want everybody to jump into Romans 8 here with me. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, but if you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many as you are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. I'm reading King James, so they weren't culturally relevant yet. For you did not receive the spirit of fear and bondage, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So, I'll continue reading. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, if heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, we've read this, and I'm sure you've read it many times in your life, and you read it and you understand it. There's something here that I really want to highlight, something that's so important to me and so important about dreaming. Because I really feel like we have this mentality in our church and our Christian culture about dreaming the things of God in our life, that it's a taboo thing to do, to dream and expect for God to do something. We kind of act more like a slave to Christ than we do a partner with Christ. We would rather act as a servant to Christ than a brother to Christ. And the reason I believe that we actually quite like to act as slaves is because slaves have no responsibility over the master's home. Slaves are owned by the master. And it's much easier to be a slave or a servant than it is to be a son. Because like most of you know, if you had family who owned businesses or if you've owned a vehicle, the onus is on you if something goes wrong. Right? If you're working at your father's shop and something goes wrong, well, if you're an employee, of someone else's father, well, you say, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. So I worked in a family business for 5 years, and the girls that I worked with, when they did something wrong that was detrimental to the business, they were not just harming their father's livelihood, they were harming their livelihood because they had ownership in the business that they ran together as a team, as a family. Does that make sense? And so as a person who was not, as a partner or an employee, if something happened, I'd be like, oh, well, it just happened. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't hold the same buy-in, as you say, into the family business. Of course, they adopted me vicariously into their family because they were Italian, and Italians do that. If you hang around long enough, you become one of their kids. So, excuse me. And so then I would tell everybody that I trained, all the young guys that would come in, treat everything as if it was your own. Understand that if something breaks, you might not have a job tomorrow. You need to take onus over what you have. So we read this in Romans 8, and it's an amazing verse because it talks about adoption. Now, adoption is a very interesting topic, and the reason I think it's very interesting is because there's two different lights in which people view adoption. People view adoption in one light. They say, well, you have taken another into your family, and wasn't that nice of you? You've taken another in. You have your kids, and you have your adopted children. That's one view of adoption. God's view of adoption is different than that. God's view of adoption is, what do you mean? You weren't my family before? Hold on a second. It's as if I carried you myself and birthed you myself. Your blood in your veins is my blood. What adoption? You were always mine. What you're talking about? I don't remember a time when you weren't mine. That's God's adoption. And so there's a difference between a slave, a servant, and a son or a daughter. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. Because a slave, if you remember in one of the parables Jesus taught, he taught about how he gave money to his, well, the parable, in the parable, the master gave money to each of his servants, and his servants went out and did the master's will. One buried it. One grew it half, and one grew it by, you know, double or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact numerical value that it doubled. But in that, we see that a servant, even the wicked servant who basically buried his gift and his ability, he was cast out in that moment. But I want to highlight something in this. They will never be more than servants unless they're adopted. So even though they do the master's will, and they're doing what the master has asked them to do, they're still just servants of the master. And there's something to be said about that, because they're doing what the master has called them to do, which is great, and I believe that's what we need to do. In the same way, if our parent or our father, when we were children, asked us to clean our room, well, we had the expectation that we had to clean our room. Some of us, like myself, didn't, and, you know, paid the price. But there's still that expectation, if the father gives a command, we're still to carry it out almost like a servant, but there's a difference. And here's the highlighted difference. A slave is an owned property. So an owned property, especially if you think about in like Bible times, they had no connection to the master's home. So they would be out in the field, or they'd be living in another house, and they would just get up and do whatever the master had wanted. And it would be dirty jobs. It'd be the ugly jobs. They'd get up. They'd do their work. And they have no option. There's no option for you. That's your job. That's what you do. That's what I own you for. Some of us, I feel as Christians, we often live in a slave mentality. Well, I have to do it. Because God, this is what God gave. I have to do it. Well, hold on a second here. That doesn't sound correct. That's not the right heart. If you live like a slave, you treat yourself like a slave. God will never treat you that way, but you treat yourself like a slave. You treat yourself like a person who is less than who he is. Because you walk in this, I guess, because I'm a Christian, or because, you know, I have to. Does that make sense? A servant is similar to a slave, except for a servant often isn't owned. A servant is hired. And a hired servant, it's very interesting, because a hired servant comes, is hired by the family, and knows the master's business. His job is to wait on the master. So he sees the master's business, but he's not a part of the business of the master. And he goes, okay, well, you're doing this. I am going to tend to that. I see you're going to need this over here. I'm going to do this over here. I see you're going to do that over here. I'm going to do that over here, right? I got to make sure I got to get the coffee in the morning for you. It's got to be ready when the master gets up. Food's got to be on the table for the master. And then there's the son. We are kin with Jesus. We are not slaves, and we are not servants. We will act in those positions for Christ. Paul said himself, I am a slave to Christ. Don't make yourself a slave to sin, but a slave to Christ. I believe that's the term. I can ask Les, he'll tell me. Am I right, Les? Yeah, see, I got it right. But my point is this. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High God. Does that make sense to you? Can we connect these things together? Now, what does that allow us? So not only does it give us responsibility for the kingdom of God in this world, it gives us responsibility that we now take partnership in what the master is doing. But beyond that, it allows us to dream. Where a servant and a slave have no right to dream in their positions, a son and daughter does. A son and daughter has the right to dream. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, well, what does he mean, a right to dream? What does that mean, a right to dream? What I mean is that God has placed a dream in your heart, or a vision, or a hope, or a desire that he wants to see fulfilled in you. We chase after God trying to do what we think he wants us to do, like a servant or a slave, when he says, I've placed a dream in your heart. Do you not see that? That dream is important to me. I think of a family. I could ask Jeff, and he would answer me, Jeff, if your kids, one of your children wanted to become an astronaut, how hard would you work for them to fulfill that dream? He would work his darndest to fulfill that dream for his child. Jeremy, I'll ask you the same question. They wanted to aspire to something. What would you do to see them aspire to it? Whatever it takes. Are you getting it? Are you getting that your dreams are important to God? Are you getting that your desires are important to God? That you don't have to flush your desires down the drain just to become a Christian? You don't have to put all of the stuff that you want to do and see God do in the kingdom of heaven because you think that there's other important things that you have to do first? Are you understanding that this is what God is pouring on me this morning? So excuse me if I come out strong. It's just how it came to me. So do you understand that the Holy Spirit inside of you is giving you dreams and visions over your house, over your neighborhood? And he wants to fulfill those. He wants to see those come, and he wants to see them explode inside of you. He wants to take your dreams and turn them into reality just because he loves you. Does that make sense? You are his children. We are his children. We are the apple of his eye. We are the apple of his eye. So what are you dreaming today? What's the dream that God is placing in your heart? I think that's my point, and something that I really want you to think about. Because there's this concept going around. I think even now we're talking about vision. We're talking about direction. Pastor Mark gave us a vision of a great revival in our time. I don't believe that great revival will come until we feel willing and free to dream what God can do in this place. I don't feel that we'll ever see anything happen unless we feel the right to stand beside Jesus as kin with him and not his servant or his slave. Again, we may act like that in how we serve him, outdo each other in honor, right? As scripture says, in everything outdo one another in honor. So we will honor one another greater than ourselves. But the point is this, that we are to dream. We are to dream. I want to ask someone if they want to share a dream. Because seriously, you want to get inspired? We need to dream out loud. We need to dream of what God wants to do in our hearts out loud. Because if you hold your dream inside of you, the chances of you seeing your dream ever happen is next to nothing. I have so many dreams that I want to see happen that I've kept to myself and never end up happening. Why? Because I've kept the dream to myself. And I haven't spoke the dream out loud and agreed with God. God, this is my dream. This is my hope. This is my desire. This is what I want to see for your kingdom. I dream of this place, this church, full of righteous men and women. I dream of this place, this church, on fire for God. I dream of us partnering with Jesus Christ to do His work here on earth. I dream of us becoming that church. That crazy church. That one where if you have problems, you go there, they get fixed. And that's why people don't come to us. Because they don't want to fix their problems. That's what I dream of. I dream of a time when people walk in here because they say, I hear people get healed here. Is that true? I dream of a place where we feel empowered enough to walk up to someone who's hurting, and I'm talking emotional hurt, I'm talking physical hurt, I don't care what it is, and share the love of Jesus Christ so boldly and so kindly and so lovingly that, like the woman at the well, she goes and she says, come meet a man who told me about myself. He told everything about me. I dream of that day. That's what I dream. What do you dream? What do you hope for? What do you aspire for? That's a hard question, isn't it? Because most of those dreams, and most of you will agree, you've put those dreams to bed a long time ago. Haven't you? Because you say those dreams could never happen. They are impossible. They cannot happen. I think one of the best sayings I've heard just recently is, life is good when God is the only option. Life is good when God is the only option. If your dream requires God being the only option, your dream is awesome. If God is the only option. And I'm not talking about, let me clarify in my dream, I'm not talking about dreaming for a Lamborghini. I'm not talking about dreaming for $1 million. I'm talking about dreaming for kingdom work. I'm talking about dreaming for your neighbor's salvation. I'm talking about dreaming for your brother or sister or daughter or whomever it is, salvation. Because that is the ultimate goal. It's to see people meet Jesus Christ and be transformed, as Romans says, transformed into something, well, as this one says, into a son of God. As if Jesus Christ birthed them himself. That's what he says to Nicodemus, right? Born of the Spirit. That's what I dream about. I dream about us dreaming, looking for God in everything, looking to find the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can walk out what he's doing. I'll share a testimony with you because I want to leave a little time. I want you to share your dream this morning. Because I know there's some of you that have been itching to share your dream, but you don't know how to share your dream. So we're going to get there. I've shared some of my dreams, but I want you to share some of your dreams. And I know what you're going to say, nope, I can't do it. I'm not going to stand up and share my dream. But here's the deal. When you share your dream, you agree with heaven that it's possible. When you don't share your dream, you agree with Satan that it's impossible. So make a choice. Agree with heaven or agree with Satan. It's up to you. I encourage you to agree with heaven. Agree with heaven. He wants to make it happen here today. He wants to give it to you. And we'll go on. Here's my testimony. So I have been really pursuing God in the area of acts of love, or just even going out of my way to take opportunities to pray for people who may need prayer. So, for instance, quite recently, I went into the bank to get a loan for something. We bought a new truck, and we go into the bank, as you always do, dressed nicely. No, you don't do that anymore. We're going into the bank to get a loan, and I'm sitting down chatting with the lady there, and one of the bankers walks in, and I've known him through a few outdoor events that I do, mainly archery, and the guy comes in, he's got a broken foot. Well, God, you give me an opportunity, I'm going to pray for it. So I say to him, I said, hey, what happened? Oh, I broke my leg, I shattered my heel, you know, it's not good, and, you know, we're just hoping it's going to grow back together. I said, well, let me pray for you. Would that be okay? Why not? Let me dream out loud. Let me dream of a time when God can heal people just because I'm releasing the name of Jesus Christ upon them, the ultimate healer, because I'm there and willing to do it, and I'm willing to dream that one day when I pray for someone, I'm going to see a miracle happen. Even though it may not happen today, I'm going to continue dreaming that, that God is going to use me in a mighty way to do mighty things because we are mighty in Him. So I dream out loud. So here I am. I say to Him, let me pray for you. Nothing happens. Both times I prayed, nothing happens. But you know what? There was a light in His eyes that said, thank you for caring about my individual need. Just the other day, was at soccer, one of the guys fell and popped his shoulder in and out. I said to him at the end of our game, let me pray for you. God heals things. So, oh, sure, pray for me. So I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. He said, oh, it feels a little bit better. I said, that's good, because he was like his arm. He couldn't move it after it popped in and out. I don't know if you've had that. It hurts a lot. Anyways, I prayed for him, and he's like, oh, it feels a bit better. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then he starts telling me, I went to church for the first time in 30 years on Sunday. If I don't dream with him, how do I ever find that out? If I don't look for God to do things through me in this world, to be the touch of Jesus Christ on my neighbors, my friends, my family, how do I expect to find those things in them? How do you expect to see Jesus Christ in the mirror if you don't act like Jesus Christ? This is what I'm saying to myself, by the way. I'm saying you just because that's the way it's coming out. So how do we expect to become Jesus Christ, to look like Jesus Christ, act like Jesus Christ, if we don't do it? If we don't dream and say, God, Jesus, this is what I dream. This is what I hope for. This is what I desire for. This is what I want to see inside of me, because this is what it says in here. It says it's possible. It says it's doable. And it says that we should do it. Not even that it's a possibility that miracles happen. It says that we should pray for it. Ephesians says, Thessalonians, I can't remember, it's 1st or 2nd Thessalonians or Timothy, I don't know. One of the scriptures, there's a whole big Bible, lots of really good quotes in here. It says, pray continually. Pray continually. I like I said, it was 9:25 this morning when God started pouring this out on me. I'm just giving what God gave me this morning. I was weeping in there like a little baby trying to write things down as God was pouring into me. So, this is good. So what kingdom dream do you have? What's your kingdom dream? What purpose has He created you for? And if you don't know, just start something. I'm serious. I know what you're saying. Well, hold on a second here. God, I want an open door. Okay, you want an open door from God. What if He's given you 3 open doors? What do you do then? God, show me which door to go through. Hold on a second. You said that all good things come from me, from above. You got 3 options. Sometimes God says, choose one and I'll bless you. No, no, don't give me the choice. I didn't sign up for choice. I didn't sign up to choose what I was going to do. I signed up to serve you. I signed up to wait on your needs. I didn't sign up to choose what I wanted to do. I signed up to serve you. And my wage is treasures in heaven. Do you ever sometimes feel like that? Have we ever done that in our own hearts and minds? So here we are. He gives us 3 options. What do you do? He says, choose one. and I'll bless you. Well, that's a hard question, isn't it? So you've dreamed out loud, you've asked God, had a conversation with him and said, listen, here are my hopes and my desires and my dreams, reawaken those in my heart. And he says, okay, here's your options. Have fun. What do you mean have fun? I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. He says, no, you're my son, you're my daughter, and you have my signet ring. And whatever you put your signet ring on, it's as if I had set it myself. Because you are my family. There is no difference between me and you. If you said it's done, it's done. You hold my signet ring. If you said it's done, it's done. That's the one I chose for you then. If you choose it, I agree. Hard thing to digest, isn't it? It's not comfortable because it puts us back in the driver's seat sometimes. Now, I don't want to all say this all to say that we can do whatever we want and we can go wherever we want, because there are times, quite literally, where we have no option. I have been in those situations myself, so I know firsthand what it's like to be in a situation where you have no option. God is calling you to one specific thing, and if you go the other way, it's not comfortable for you. I don't know, has anybody else experienced that? Raise your hand if you have. Let's be honest. Okay, so I know one of the times I had done that, I was walking downtown and I looked over at a guy and the Lord said, go pray for him. And I said, no. And he said, pray for him. And I said, no. And he said, go pray for him. And I said, no. And I walked away. I still remember it. Vivid as it happened yesterday. This is 7 or 8 years ago this happened. And I can remember it as if it happened yesterday, because I remembered the time I said no to God. And I promised myself that I won't say no to God again. Because it sure doesn't feel good when you say no to God. Fun. So, here I am. Oh, I thought I disappeared out of the mic there. So here I am saying no to God. So I said, God, I don't want to say no to you anymore. Happened just the other day. I didn't say no. I just didn't take an opportunity that God had placed in front of me. He didn't say no. Just put it there. Here's this opportunity to just start. A guy I know, we're sitting down at Steiner's Bakery, and he's sitting there, and he's got his leg up, and I'm like, hey, what happened? This guy plays soccer with another guy. This is a few months ago. I said, hey, what happened? Oh, he said, I hurt my knee at work, and, you know, I can't work, and they don't really know what it is, and so on and so forth. And God had placed an opportunity for me to just start. All the things that I was asking him for. I was saying, God, I want to live like Paul did. God, I want to live like John did, and I want to just see people and pray for them. Here I am, dreaming out loud to God, asking him for things, and he's going, here you go. Here you go. But he's not pushing me. He's allowing me to take it myself. Because again, I'm not I am his servant, of course, but I'm his son. And he wants his son to dream himself and walk with what he's given us, with the gifts that he's given us. Just as a side note, if you don't think you have gifts, just start doing something and you'll find the gift God has given you. Promise you. Start doing it. If you're like, well, I don't know. What gifts has God to give? Start up the children upstairs and work your way up in age until you find something that works. If children's ministry doesn't work, try youth ministry. Youth ministry doesn't work. Well, try young family ministry. If young family doesn't work, well, try not so young family ministry. And if that doesn't work, try seniors ministry. And if none of that works, start preaching to people on the street. Eventually, you're going to find something that feels so right, because it's what God has placed inside of you. It's who you are. It's who you are. Cool. Okay. I'll keep going. Sorry. I'm getting excited. That's always a problem. So, I lost my place in the last thing. Okay, so dreaming up. I'm not going to keep going and flog it all the way. So I remember where I was. I was at the store at Steiner's Bakery, and here's this guy. God put it on the plate for me. And I didn't say no, but I sure didn't take the opportunity he gave me. And I walked out of the store, and I said to my wife as I walked out, what are you doing? What's wrong with me? All of dreaming, all of my hoping, and yet still here I am. God placed on a silver platter and handed it to me, and he's have fun. And still I'm uncomfortable. I lack the courage and the whatever you want to call it, to do it. The gusto to just jump out and do it. Here's an opportunity where someone's hurting and they're desperate for an answer. They need it more than anything. Because it's his livelihood. It's his family. He's enjoying playing sports. And here I have an opportunity to see God, potentially God, come and touch his life. Well, God will touch his life, whether he heals him or not. Just because when light enters darkness, the darkness, in a way, will have to flee. Period. Light cannot enter a dark situation and darkness overthrow light. Period. So if you invite Jesus into a situation, and this is part of dreaming out loud, when you invite Jesus into your dreams, when lightness enters, darkness has to retreat. Period. And I know sometimes we say, well, nothing happens when I pray. Darkness has retreated. Know that every time you pray with someone, regardless of the outcome, darkness has retreated. Because light cannot be overshadowed by darkness. Amen? So here I am, walking out, going, God, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I found myself in that moment going, okay, God, give me another one. Tee me up. Tee me up. Put that ball on the tee. You know, if you ever remember when kids are playing t-ball, I'm sure some of you guys had played t-ball at the kids. You almost think it's not fair because, you know, every time they swing at it, whack, they hit the thing, the ball falls down on the ground. Well, you're close. It's kind of like t-ball sometimes. Or it's kind of like baseball. God starts you off by putting the ball on a little black pedestal, standing behind you and holding your arms. Okay, you ready? You ready? Let's swing this bat together. And you, whack, you missed the ball. Okay, let's try again. Puts the ball up there for you. You ready? Okay, whack, you missed the ball. And slowly, as you get more comfortable with your swing and you get more comfortable with connecting with that ball as you're playing baseball, I'm just using it as an expression, eventually, God starts throwing you curveballs. And he starts throwing you fastballs. And he starts really making you work for it. He's like, I'm not going to make it easy for you. We're going to have some fun. Your comfort zone? That's way out in left field. And we're not playing out in the left field today. So here I am asking God, tee it up for me, God. Hold my hands. I need your help. I'm not, you know, in these kind of places, I still sometimes I think it's okay to go back to that moment where you're like, tee it up for me, God, because you know what? I need you. You're still my papa. You're still my father. Help me. So here we are. He tees it up for me again, sure enough, as a good God as he is. This time I hit it. This time I went for the back fences with it. And I took the opportunity with this gentleman to tell him that my God heals. And if you want healing, my God can heal you. I didn't have an opportunity to pray with him just because there wasn't time, but I gave him the opportunity for prayer. And I said, listen, here it is. Take it. Trust me. What else? And I actually used this exact word. I said, what do you got to lose? What does he have to lose? What do I have to lose? I got nothing to lose either. He has nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. What do you got to lose? What's the worst that could happen? What is the worst that could happen? Actually, exact words I used. What's the worst that could happen? And he's like, yeah, I guess you're right. What is the worst that's going to happen? The worst that's going to happen is he has to go back to work because his leg's working again. That's about the worst. That's about the worst of it. So I just want to read another scripture here for you. Matthew 7. Flip over here, sorry. Ask and it will be given to you. 7 verse 7. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, Master of this place, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. Therefore, whatever you want, men, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. All good gifts come from God above. He wants to give you good gifts. And I want us to really understand on the concept of dreaming, because this is really, I'm gonna leave it here. I want to encourage you to dream out loud. I want you to encourage you to reawaken the kingdom dreams in your heart that you've let die because you didn't think it was possible. He wants to bring that out of you because you are his son and his daughter, and he cares so much for your dreams. I was just overwhelmed this morning with that feeling. He cares so much for my dream. He cares so much for my hope, what I want to see. And he cares equally for each of you here, for the hopes and dreams you have in your heart. So I want to encourage you, dream out loud. Shoot for the fences. And you know what? I've said some pretty grand and big and like these huge concepts. I want to encourage you to take one step. And I want you to dream with someone this morning. I just want you to do one thing today. Just one. Let's start with opening it up and allowing heaven to come into your dream. Allowing God to agree with your dream. I want to encourage you to dream out loud today. You don't have to do it here. Do it at home with your spouse or maybe with your sister or brother or family or with your kids. Feel free to parents dream with your kids, share their dreams with you, because if you share your dreams with your kids, the chances are they're going to make it happen for you because they're going to push you in their own faith because their faith is often greater than your own. So if you dream with your kids, be prepared to do something about it. That's all I say. That's why it's good. Dream with your kids. But dream out loud with the people around you because God wants to invade your dreams and he wants to bring a revival to this place. He wants to bring a revival to this city, to this nation, and to this island that is unmatched. But we have to first dream. And we have to first understand that we are sons and daughters of Christ. And that we are seated in heavenly places. And we are kin with Jesus. And as Colossians says, Colossians 3, I'm going to read it because it's actually fantastic. Read it this morning and went, wow, God, you really are amazing. Because he included this all in the Bible just for us. So that we can understand. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. This is verse 3. Chapter 3, sorry. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of your earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 9 here. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all, and all are in Christ. Of course, he's talking about Christians at this moment. So, does anybody feel the Holy Spirit prompt you to share your dream this morning? Sharon. Dream with us.
I felt the Holy Spirit a long time ago that one of the desires in my heart that would be so God's love that it would flow out to others. And I've experienced it a few times, but I want to experience it more times. But just recently I've experienced it. And it was to do with Eleanor's husband, Don. And he's not been given a good diagnosis by the doctors. And he needs a miracle. And I've been praying for him and Eleanor for a while. And the other day, the love of God just welled on the inside of me. And I felt two things, that I was to phone and tell them, but I also felt also to share it with the pastors that I believe that Don is coming to know the Lord. Believe that. That's been my confession, that he will come to know the Lord.
Amen.
And so anyway, I phoned the church, and I told that to April. And then I felt to phone Eleanor and tell them that how much I and we love them. So I did. And it wasn't hard to do. So I phoned, and I expected Eleanor to answer the phone, and a man answered the phone. And I thought, oh. So I said, is Eleanor there? And he said, no, Eleanor's gone to Vancouver. I said, is this Don? And he said, yes. So I just shared with him. I said, Don, it's Sharon Hack. I don't know if you know who I am. I've met a couple. It's not about me. I said, I just want to let you know how much we love you. I said, I've been praying for you for a miracle. And I said, but this morning I just had love in my heart for you and her, and I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. And he said, thank you. And then I said to him, I said, if and when you should pass away, I said, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. I said, because then when Eleanor passes on, she'll come to get to see you again. And he said, thank you, Sharon. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That's as far as I went, right? And I believe he's ready to do that. So I thought it would be in my heart that the pastors, one of them, whatever, should go and see him and just talk with them and whatever. And then in the natural, I would say the natural, but we were believing God for a different vehicle. And for about a year now, and we wanted a certain one, which is the Kia Sedona van, because that's what we had, and we really liked it, but it had pretty high mileage on it, right? And we thought, well, it would be nice. We didn't want a new one, so I've learned when I worked with the financial company that new vehicles are not, buy a 1 year or 2 year or whatever, right, is a better buy, because as soon as you drive the new one off the lot, if you got the money, go for it, but you lose all the appreciation right away. So we got a call a couple of weeks ago from Kia saying, oh, we have a Kia Sedona and a used one if you'd like to look at it. And we said, well, yeah, okay, we'll come and look at it. So we went down, looked at it. And on the way down, of course, I'm, of little faith, I'm saying, Manfred, I wonder if it's going to be just a base model. And we had the EX model, right, which had a few little extras. So anyway, we go down there, and it didn't look that great because there'd been nothing done to it. So anyway, we looked at it, and it was just a year newer than the one we were driving. Well, the one we were driving had 188,000 kilometers on it. And so anyway, we looked at the outside and everything. And he said, well, it's only got 66,000 kilometers on it, and it was only 1 year newer than ours. So, I mean, it's unheard of pretty much to get a 2007 with 66,000 kilometers on it. So I just said, I just couldn't thank the Lord enough. I thought, yes, it's a natural thing, but you know what? God says we're greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. And you know, I knew that when I knew that it was God that did this, right? And so we basically have a new vehicle. It's a 2007, and it was an EX, so which was the, I don't know what they call it. Anyway, luxury one.
Yeah.
With the things we wanted in it, like Manfred wanted the heated leather seat. So we got that, right?
He would want that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the winter, it's nice. I have to agree, right? You don't need it in the summer. But anyway, so I just want to say that's one of my dreams, is to just to come to know the love of God, the love of Jesus, so much that it oozes out of me, you know? And I know that can happen, and it will happen, because God is wanting it to happen in our lives.
So let's pray for that. And it's a very good point to talk about the natural, because there's a lot of things that God will do for us in the natural that we're unprepared for and unexpecting just because he loves us. I mean, the Bible does say that God gives his children good gifts, right? And so sometimes it seems like, oh, well, you know, that's just happenstance. I think sometimes we underrate the miracles God does in our lives, the simple miracles God does in our lives, just because he's like, hey, you know what? I really care about you. I actually really love you. So our call then, as Sharon said, our dream, her dream, is to be the love of Jesus Christ to her neighbors and her friends. Who else dreams that here? Raise your hand if that's your dream. Serious. If that's your dream. If that's a dream you have. You're agreeing with heaven over that dream this morning. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Take it from today and walk away with hope in your heart. I'm going to get one more. I need another dream. All right, I saw one in the back here. Yeah, let's take a second to pray for our business leaders here in this city. Jesus, we just release a blessing for our business leaders. Spirit for prosperity, and Holy Spirit mostly for their salvation. I pray that you work and massage their hearts so they realize and recognize the lack they have without you. Jesus, not us, but you. They would see the hole that is missing. God, that godly leadership would rise up in this city and take it not by force, but by working together as one team with everybody, showing the love of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you break down barriers, God, that we've created over the years that say us and them. Jesus, we just smash those barriers. We are one, and we are working with them and for them in hopes that they would be able to meet you. It's not us, it's not them, it's you want them to meet. So Holy Spirit, give us wisdom in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone from this side? Oh, you got to come on up here. This is of dreaming. I know it seems a lot like testimonies. Part of dreaming, come on up so everyone can see you. So people, part of dreaming is understanding that when you share your dream, you give it life. How many of you are encouraged by others' dreams? Who's here is encouraged by other dreams? If you're missing encouragement by others' dreams, I want to encourage you. It's probably because you have a dream so stuffed deep down inside of you that when you look at others' dreams, you sneer because you've lost your own. I want to encourage you, if that's how you're feeling today, you need to pull that dream out of the dungeon, because that dream is important to God. It is so important to him. He has been staring at it in the dark going, I want that for you. Take it out. I encourage you with that today. Go ahead.
Is this on? There we go. So I've been praying a lot lately about opportunities to be able to help many different friends and family that are around, as well as some love and kindness. And one that really sticks out was last week when Amy Moody went for our nightly walk, walking on the street and meeting this lady that was intoxicated with a couple other gentlemen that were intoxicated as well. And she was getting beaten on the beach. And so we intervened, and the gin ended up going away. And Mimi took the opportunity to ask and pray for her. So we were walking down the seawalk, and she had a beer in her hand. We bowed our hand on her, and we're praying for her. And she was actually able to recite a piece of the Bible, and we were also able to correct for her a piece of the Bible that she took a different way that was the proper way. So that night I was able to phone one of my staff up who was working at the women's shelter, and I was able to hold a place for her to sleep that night so she could clear her mind. And by the end of the talk, I think we were able to relate a lot of things. Her childhood, Amy was able to talk to her about things, and she wanted to start taking her grandchild to church. I'm not too sure where she's at right now, but we just took that opportunity to be able to discuss things with her and tell her about the Lord. And at the time we were done talking with her, there was a light in her eye, and she was praying with us. and it was just amazing. There's three other opportunities with the work that I've been able to discuss with people of the Lord. Two of my employees, actually, as well as the high autistic that I'm working with as well. It's got a lot of inner demon that we're trying to fight. So, and I've been able to help the hot with their kid. I go in there, hopefully once a week, to try and help them out, and a lot of other friends that I've been able to help out. So I've been blessed, and one of my dreams is actually the salvation of my husband.
He's
kind of on board a lot of things, believes that there's a possibility of something out there, but just going to continue to pray, and I definitely see my kid beating off on him. So he can't really save them, and they got to talk to him about stuff. He just sits there, and now it's to the point where we'll pray at mealtime, and you actually hear him kind of praying under his breath, and then you'll say amen, but he doesn't want to hear. He doesn't want to hear that. So, but yeah, I've had many opportunities, and I think definitely now I've found my gift. I didn't know my gift, and that's helping others.
So you found your gift by doing it.
Exactly.
Pretty simple.
And starting to come out of comfort zone with all the things. So.
Who else is dreaming for salvation? Loved one. Who else? Raise your hands. So let's pray right now. Jesus, we pray for salvation. God, we lay these people before you. We lay them before you. Hallelujah. We lay these people before you. We just release heaven over them in Jesus' name. Heaven, come and just fill them up in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we just release wisdom over all of these people here who are dreaming for salvation and for family and close loved ones. That they have wisdom to know how to share the love of Christ in such a way it comes irresistible. Holy Spirit, I just release the irresistible love over every one of them in Jesus' name. Your irresistible love. The love that comes and is like an intoxication that you hold yourself up because of it. Because there's so much love in each of us. God, know these people, they are so important to us, special to us. God, give us, put the stand, that he stands so that we can swing. So we can swing for the fences with them in their lives. We know that's not always goes, but give opportunities to defend them, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Okay. Bill, I'm going to invite you back up. I know there's a few more that wanted, and I want to dream. But I want to honor our teachers who are looking after our kids up.